This is Sean Hennan, the writer of episode 804, Elizabeth Keene. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
I'm pretty sure Agnes will take a real plane over paper ones any day. Welcome back to the award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I am Aaron Peterson, Agent Aaron Peterson. And I do have to say, apparently, last week, I got a lot of flack because of my defense of Liz Keene. So for all of you that were really upset about that, I just want you to know, strap in, because I'm going to do it again. Thanks for joining us yet again for number one on The Blacklist, Elizabeth Keene, written by Sean Hennan and directed by Court Hessler, both of which have been on this very podcast. So congratulations to you guys, because you got number one.
And hopefully they get it again, because looks like we'll get a number one conclusion at some point in season 9, maybe.
Maybe.
Big news.
Maybe.
Big
hang
news.
Hang on. I ain't done yet. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com. All right. You want to do the honors? What's coming up? Another year? What's going on?
Another year. More hats. More Dembe. More. But we don't know who's going to survive this season. So we should probably stop while we're ahead.
No, but we do know that nobody died in this episode. And I want to, where's Amir? Because he's going on social media saying, I read the script and I was crying. And so everybody assumed somebody was going to die. Man, don't toy with me like that.
To me, that sounds like that's on you. Like
it is on me, but I do not want to accept responsibility for my own actions. So I'm just going to blame him.
Well, that's I think that Mr. Eisendrath as well, the EW article, he was all like, fans are going to be like broken up about this one, but they're going to love it as well. I wasn't very broken up about this one at all.
I think he's speaking to, and I'm not speaking for him, obviously, but I think he's speaking to the whole Liz and Red. That relationship looks very severed, and the task force, she's not going to be part of that for a while, obviously. So to me, that he's saying, fans are really mad when Liz and Red are not together, and they definitely don't like Liz going against Red. So that's why I believe he said that. That's an opinion, though.
But if she's now in the wind, then they're not technically going against each other. It's just Red all the time, which fans would be super happy about.
I'm sure she'll be still going against him.
In some way.
Yeah. She still wants to bring him down. Now she's got all the money to do it. Now they're neck and neck. They're even Steven.
Man, I wish I had 41 bills. Anybody got some GameStop stock they can sell?
My daughter just bought a bunch of AMC stock and was trying to convince me to buy some. And then suddenly she got rich. So I really should have listened. But I'll reward them by going back to the theater because they finally opened in our area. What?
We should figure out if there's a way to get like a Blacklist episode at your theater and have the fans come out. That would be fun.
I would love for like the season finale or series finale to be at the theater. You know, I know the general manager, but I could probably figure a way out of that. Maybe, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know.
But we got season 9, so we don't have to worry about that for right now.
No, we don't. We don't. And this weekend, the little things comes out, which really reminds me of Bokenkamp a lot in his writing. So I'm kind of excited for that. It's just side note.
All right, we'll tune in next week with movie reviews from Aaron, where he tries to tell John what he probably is or isn't.
No, you just go to The Hollywood Outsider. That's at thehollywoodoutsider.com, and you can listen to me talk about movies every week. Cheap plug. Let's move on.
Yeah, we set that up.
I appreciate it.
Well, if you're new to the podcast, then you have a fun treat tonight, because we're talking about number one on The Blacklist after 8 seasons, finally. But we talk about that, but first we do some stuff with the fans, and then we get into our case profile where we break it all down. Then we get some wise words from Red and during Red's rhetoric. And then, of course, special agent intel at the end of the episode, where I'm sure Aaron will have words, if you couldn't tell by his feistiness already this evening.
Man, I got attacked. I was attacked. And one of them in particular. Did you get the Reddit guy? Because I want to speak to him.
Do
you get that one?
Later. Huh? Yes, we do.
Okay.
Stay tuned. It'll be a fun one. Hold on to your horses.
If you're that guy, it might not be.
You need to know, what was our profiling question last week, Aaron?
All right. Well, the profiling question from previous week is Liz Wright. Will Red never be able to kill Liz? Poll results. Twitter fans, 80-20. No, Red won't kill Liz. Podcast Facebook group fans, The Blacklist Exposed, 88-12. No, red won't kill Liz. So the odds are red is not going to kill Liz. But can't afford a gun. He's broke.
But there's actual people out there that think he will. That's what I find interesting.
You know, there's always, those are probably people that just don't want to deal with them anymore. They're like, just do it. But I think most fans realize Red would never do that. I mean, Dembe even said in the show, hey, you love her too, even if your love is broken and fractured.
That is true. That is true. Mm-hmm. Well, Marilyn Van Diepen said, hey guys, we all know no one's going to die, at least not this episode, Amir. It's too early this season, but we have a lot more story ahead of us. So nope, no way. After all these years of having Liz's best interests at heart, he won't be able to pull the trigger. Bummer, Liz has already crossed some invisible line to the dark side by trying to kill Red, and she's sinking further and further down the hole. Red won't be able to do it, but given his possible future of medicine, doctors, and safe house hospital beds, I think he will eventually choose death by cop, or in this case, death by Liz. The mercy killing.
I don't think so, because that would put it on her, and I don't think he would do that. I just don't. I just don't. Angie Picardi Hagedorn. Man, that's got to be fun to say at parties, right?
Totally.
I'm sorry, Angie. That's a hard name to get out. If she is truly his daughter, no. If she is not, then yes. He loved Kaplan and put a bullet in her head. He loved Katerina and had zero second guesses on shooting her. So I think he would.
Well,
yeah, people always forget about the whole Kaplan thing just because, well, he loved Kaplan and he didn't want her to die at the end. I'm like, I watched him put a bullet in her head.
Well, I watched her put a bullet that grazed a metal plate in her head.
I watched him think he killed her by shooting her in the head.
By shooting her in the head. Or he knew the metal plate was there and he was aiming there on purpose.
So for all those people saying, Liz is doing way more worse than Red, wrong. It's just an incorrect statement. I'm sorry. It is not correct. He's never straight up murdered someone. He's done it so many times, I lost track. I don't even understand that argument, but we'll come back to that. Dee Dee Elliott. No, I don't think so. It was discussed with Dom already, and Red found out that Liz was the one who turned him in and almost cost Red his life. And what did they say? She's off limits. Red almost died then and didn't kill her. I don't think that will change. And lastly?
Kyle Nolan. No way. Because the show's got another season coming. Season 9, baby. Woo-woo!
Don't forget to answer our profiling question for this week. What is on the flash drive from the archive? But before we go to that, I got to ask you, season 9 renewal, Honest Engine.
Oh, I can't be wishy-washy. I have to pick a side, is what you're saying?
Honest Engine. Fan of season 9 or think season 8, we should wrap it up? We've been doing this a long time. It's an honest question at this point.
If season 8 answers the primary question, who is Reddington and why Elizabeth Keene? And that answer sparks a bigger mystery, then season 9 is great. If the answer truly ends the show, then no, season 9 would be a bad idea. It'd be like when they added the extra season to Scrubs. Because the Scrubs finale was fantastic, and then it got ruined by doing another season.
Okay. I think I've been an advocate of this for quite some time. I say, close out the mythology. I don't care when you do it. I would like to do it soon. Maybe in a couple episodes would be great. I don't care.
Maybe at the end of 6A would have been great.
Yeah. I mean, I just, it's time for the mythology part to close out. I really don't think you need the mythology to keep the show going at this point. People really love the Blacklisters and the back and forth with Red. And you do, every time you drag it out further or try to stretch out a question with a question more, it wears on the actual show itself. So I do feel like that needs to be answered because it just does. And you could still have a new mystery or a new that spirals into something else. But as long as that gets answered, I think we'd be fine. And we just go to a more Blacklister of the Week kind of series. I have no problem with that. I'm sure you create some new mythology or some new cabal or some new threat that Red and company have to thwart.
Yeah, we had the map back in season 3. There were all the different colors on the map. The cabal was one of them. And then tonight's episode clearly says, look, we can set up an entire thing in Russia that nobody even knew about for 8 seasons and go a completely different direction.
Always something you can do. Always something you can do. But the back and forth, who is he, who isn't he, I think most fans would, if they're being honest, would say, yeah, that part we should probably put to bed.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think it's wrong to say that. And I don't think it's not being a fan to say that. I think that's honest as fans. You know, sometimes it's just time for certain things. You could still do that. We don't know what the answer is going to be, but you can still do that and then segue to doing something along those lines. It might be, you might have to tweak some things, but
we're saying like podcasters. If we were like fans, we'd be like, give me the damn answer now.
Well, I will say that, right? Give me the damn answer now. You want me to say that? I'll say that because, yeah, I want it just as bad as fans do. I won't skip ahead, though. Like, if somebody gave me the script for the series finale or whatever, where the, whatever episode that answer's in, I wouldn't read it. I want to see it unfold.
Want to go on the journey.
Yeah, I don't like to be spoiled. I just don't. I don't know why. It's a weird thing. So many people love to see, like, look at the last page of a book, and I don't get it. You know what? Let's get into this week's episode.
Yeah, let's go on a journey with Liz to see what the hell's going to happen next in our case profile.
All right, Liz needs help and money to escape Red and the task force, so she works the list of those closest to Red for an ally. That is the episode. Her plan to kind of get somebody on her side and then do some finagling to get to Red, which I was a big fan of. How about you? I kind of like the, even though I will admit, I saw pretty much all the twists coming, so I don't know if I really call them twists, but more of like that's how the plot played out. On the same token, I enjoyed it.
I was surprised that she called Rudiger first of all the people. Like, you don't call Chuck, you don't call Morton, you made those guys for last. Why would you call Rudiger first?
I didn't even remember Rudiger at first. I'm like, who's this guy?
He's the bomb guy, right? Who's the bomb?
I remember. Yeah, it took me a while. Yeah. So what did you think? Because some fans are already upset. Like, why is number one already? And I would say, and why is Elizabeth Keene number one? Was she always going to be number one? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they've got the list. You'd have to ask John that.
Well, but I think Red answered that question. There was never a plan.
Yeah, there was never a plan.
I kind of laughed. I was like,
we're coming back to that, though, because that's important to come back to. But what did you think about this? Because number one, four episodes into the eighth season, we just got renewed, so it's really early, you would think, to be dropping number one. Now, yes, we've had many where they come back at another point where it's conclusion or something along those lines. This looks like it could be like that. But still, Elizabeth Keene, number one, middle of the season. What'd you think?
I think that it's a great move. I think we all know that, you know, the first three scripts, for the most part, were broken last year as part of season 7, and this would have been like the kickoff of season 8. So they obviously had this written before they had the season 9 announcement. So Liz is really the key component of season 8 this year, even though we got introduced to some new players towards the end of the episode. So I like it. I think this is a great way to move the story forward and hopefully get to some kind of an answer before the season is out. And I wholeheartedly believe that we'll have a number one conclusion before the 22 episodes are over.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, we talked about that before, or what, last week, I think, once last we week, knew what this title was. Yeah. And makes total sense to me. And honestly, it's not like these numbers have been going in order at all. So whatever it comes. I thought one would be the last one, but once again, that's on me. I thought somebody was going to die too. Turns out I'm wrong, Amir. Turns out I'm wrong.
Only the first part, remember, though. It is a conclusion. Someone could still die. I think what people Possibly. Have to understand is that they're all
like, we don't know that.
Why is Liz number one? I think that's what people are having the biggest consternation with right now.
Because it's Red's list. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. It's whatever's most important to Red at that moment. And Liz Keene is obviously most important to him. So that makes sense to me. I have no qualms about it. Do you?
I don't think it's just what's important to Red.
At that
I think
moment,
it's what's
what
important
I
mean. To Red in relationship to Liz. And more importantly, the people that could potentially hurt Liz the most as they're moving along.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all.
Why not? Because Kaplan technically could have hurt Liz by the information Kaplan had. Maddie Tolliver can obviously hurt Liz by manipulating her mind into thinking she was her mother, if she is her mother even.
Red. It's completely... It's whoever is a threat or... is important to Red. It isn't necessarily his hit list or anything like that, or the biggest threat to Liz Keene, because she's the biggest threat to herself, I guess you could say that. Sure. Maybe that's it, but I just don't see it that way.
Because technically, Liz is in danger of herself. I think that's why she's up on number one.
Well, that's what he keeps telling her. Sure.
Yeah. And of course, she's bad for Red because he's now $41 million broke.
Not bad for like living in a bowling alley or whatever a couple right. years ago. Or cheap motel, whatever it was. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, season five, right? The cheap motel. Yeah. Yeah. So he rebuilt enough that he still has some money, but enough to give to Liz as a loan. Good old Skip.
All right, well, let's get into characters. Let's check this out.
Yeah, two tunes this week. First, we hear Ruins from Aiyea as the team arrives at the train station looking for Liz.
I dig
that
song.
It's a diversion. Didn't see that coming. Then later in the episode, we hear a cover mashup of One Way or Another from Until the Ribbon Breaks. A really good cover. I actually like that one.
That was so good. I didn't realize it was that song for a while.
I didn't either until Shazam said it was. And I was like, wait, is that right? And then I played it on Apple Music. And I was like, oh, that is that song. That's pretty cool.
Really cool cover. Yeah. Good find.
And you can get that song right now over on the playlists for Apple Music and Spotify. We have both of those links on our website at theblacklistexposed.com.
All right. Well, in terms of characters, which we always do, Park, once again, didn't have a lot to do. Puts out the bolo. Good job. Bob, can we talk about Park being a series regular and still not doing anything?
Well, I think her parts probably will increase, being that if
Liz is truly
going into hiding, and if we don't see Liz over the next couple of episodes, because we don't know, but the assumption would be is that we might not see her in a couple episodes because she's in the wind, that maybe Park steps up now because she's literally the only female character on the show.
Gotcha. Possibly. Either way, she's going to be the only woman in the post office, so hopefully she'll get more to do.
There. Hopefully.
I like her a lot. I hope she does get more. She's fun to watch when she gets something to do. She doesn't have anything to do. But then again, it's been really heavily Liz-focused. If they get back to Blacklisters, she'll have more to do because she's part of the task force, which Liz is no longer part of. But we'll come back to
her audition for She-Hulk.
What?
We could see Park do her own She-Hulk with the crazy angry eyes and bashing people through glasses and stuff.
That was a reach, brother. Good job, I guess. But it was reach. All right, Marvin Gerard, you want revenge for the woman who abandoned you and killed your grandfather. So we know Marvin Gerard does not know the secret, right? Even though he is next to Dembe, his oldest associate, or do we think he knows the secret?
I think from the conversations from last episode, I think he knows the secret.
Because he said, you want revenge for the woman who abandoned you and killed your grandfather. And then later, Dembe mentions mother. So you've got two mentions of her mother in this episode. So his two longest-standing companions refer to Katarina, one in private, but we'll come back to Dembe. But both times in here, does that change your mind in terms of dead Katarina being real Katarina? Or do you still say fake Katarina?
I was thinking that because I caught up on that too. And I'm like, there's nobody in earshot, so why would they use the term mother in that writing, unless it was a slip up in the writer's room, which I don't think would be the case, given that it was Sean. But you go back to that conversation that Dom has with Matty Tolliver as he's seeing Katarina, mm-hmm. and then he says, you know, you stole the archive, gave it to Reddington, and you have it too. And then we see that Reddington obviously knows Sikorsky, and they're sitting across the table in Moscow with the thing from the archive, and you're just like, I don't know. Still, jury's still out for me.
Okay, well, we'll see what the jury thinks when we get to Dembe's conversation. It's a little more complicated. All right, Skip is in charge. Marvin's been locked out of the accounts. I mean, there is this thing in terms of Marvin Gerard where Wrestler gets used so that, well, essentially, you know, because Liz goes to Marvin and tries to flip him and he won't do it. Well, he doesn't say that he won't do it right then. He said he'll think about it. And then later we find out that she fed his name to Wrestler, who in turn threw him right under the bus as soon as he got a chance to with Red. And then Red went right after him because the Boy Scout believed it. So, you know, Liz completely used Wrestler, but this is just Marvin Gerard for right now. So what did you think about the whole torturing his second closest ally without even giving him the benefit of the doubt? I thought that was pretty cold blooded.
I think it's in line, though, with what Reddington stands for. I mean, if he shot Kaplan
himself
for less, right, then technically he'd have to follow through. He's got to show strength in order to maintain the criminal empire, especially because now that these people know that he's sick and dying, he absolutely has to show strength. And if Skip is the new one, he's got to put the fear of God into Skip. So he's got to be able to go through with it. And he's acting on the information that he has. Problem is like Liz said, he's old. So he's not picking up on the clues as quickly as he used to.
All the people that love to tell me how he's like a sweet old grandfather who doesn't do much bad things. I'm like, he just tortured one of his friends, you know, on a whim. Yeah, sure, he thought that he did, but he had a great point. Why would I use my real name? That just seems like the dumbest thing ever. And like Liz said later, I thought a clever person would pick up on it, but I guess next time I'll try somebody who's clever. So.
Well, he didn't torture her. Tina kicked the shit out of him.
Well, yeah, but that's him. He ordered it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
That's why you'll never be as cool as Jack Bauer, because he does the torturing himself like a real man. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's going to really fracture that relationship. It's really, really going to tear that up.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing coming out of that, when he's like, oh, Marvin, I'm sorry, and putting the coat around him and stuff, and he's like, go to hell, Red. I'm really interested to see what Marvin does next.
I hope he leaves them. I mean, this guy's had nothing but hell. I mean, yeah, some money and whatnot, but what benefit has it given him? He's gone to jail. Now he's been tortured by his friend.
He was sent away to the banana plantation.
Wouldn't have any interest in helping him anymore. I really wouldn't. Like, Liz was correct when she said his loyalty is transactional.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. It's true. I mean, he might have loyalty to Dembe. That's infallible. But remember, he almost turned on Dembe.
That's right. Number 10 on the blacklist.
Yep. Sure did. Almost turned on him. It was pretty quick. Didn't take too long. All right. Well, let's see what happened with Marvin. Oh, man, you shot Marvin in the face, man. All right, Cooper. That's a Pulp Fiction reference. Cooper, she's equally as fond of us, which I thought was really nice. So he's telling the group, she could solicit your help or our help. Don't help her. Don't do it. Don't do it. But they all do it. Nobody listens. And by the end of the episode, you know, he does have a conversation with Red where he asks about N13 and Katarina's death. He kind of brings that up. And, of course, gets nowhere with Red. Red really doesn't give him much except for the fact that you should be more worried about her than you are with me. I don't work for you, which seemed pretty cold. But, like I said, we're talking about Cooper right now. And then by the end of the episode, Cooper, the agents, Aram and Wrestler, are turning in the resignations because they feel like they did something wrong. And Cooper accepts them, says, all right, you guys, you good with this? And they're like, yeah. And then gives them right back because, you know, we're not going to let somebody bring in one of our own. You know, we're going to do it ourselves. So what'd you think about that whole thing where he's like, you should recuse yourself, gets the resignation. And then he's like, nah, I'm just funning. Like, what do you think about that? Cause I just felt like that was a 180.
I don't think it was 180. I think he was spot on. He explained it very well. I mean, he called the game the entire way, the entire time, the same way, and didn't switch it like NFL referees do. It was very much a conversation of, I want to know where you guys stand before I tell you how I feel. And so he made him go through the song and dance of turning in the resignations so that he can then come back and say, like, if you got to turn in your resignation, then I got to turn in mine too. Because if I was here, I would have let her leave with her kid as well. So mm-hmm. I think he was just making sure that everybody was on the same page before he showed his cards. Because remember, he is a poker player with Hannah Baker. Who's coming back to the show, by the way?
Who is?
Panna Baker. We're going to see her in a few episodes.
Oh, good. Maybe they'll have a dalliance. Isn't that what you, when we did the interview with Harry Lennox, didn't you bring that up, that you wanted to see them get together?
It should.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Doesn't all everybody date their boss these days?
Before we get to Wrestler, S.C. Jackson is apparently helping, they're like besties now, and they're partners in crime. So I assume she got set up after Liz got that $41 million, you think?
I would think so, since she wasn't on the plane. But I was actually kind of disappointed in that. I was hoping Essie was going to stick with her, be part of her entourage.
I kind of liked it. I was kind of hoping we're going to see Liz build an empire, but she might come back, I would think.
She might. Maybe she's staying behind to be eyes and ears on the task force and report in.
I don't think she can. Well, I mean, she would be wanted because she was the one who planted the bomb. So I can't imagine she would stick around. That would be stupid.
It would.
Because she'd be wanted by both Red and the task force. Seems like a bad plan on her part if that was the case. Wrestler. All right. He and Liz had a rest. You know what I'm saying?
I am so glad they actually showed it.
What?
They showed it.
Well, yeah, because last week you were like, well, I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe you don't know. You know, maybe they're just hanging out, played cards.
I mean, think about it logically. I mean, if they hadn't shown it and all you saw was her just on the floor looking for her stuff, you wouldn't have known if they actually slept together or not.
No, I would have known. You just wouldn't have accepted it because you have to apparently have 100%. Somebody has to say it out loud or show it for you to believe it.
On the show, absolutely.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway. So they did it. They did the deed. Now if she's using him. I mean, he seemed okay with it. He seemed fine with it. So that's good. Good on him. I don't blame him.
And she did use him for the Marvin Gerard thing.
Yeah, she did. I'm saying if that's why she even did all this, I don't think that's why. I think she really genuinely has feelings for him. I think that's painfully obvious. On the same token, she just used that relationship for her benefit because she knew he wouldn't do it otherwise. And she knew he would do the right thing. She used him doing the right thing. I'm okay with it. Plus, he got to rest. Mm-hmm. They really showed like a real sex scene, too.
That was kind of like 7 o'clock, network TV. Okay. We're doing this thing.
In the same episode, she had to reflect on Tom.
What would Tom think?
Huh?
I lost out to the garden gnome kicker. Come on. I died for that sucker.
Oh, you know what? Tom's not thinking anything because he's dead. Another round of applause for dead Tom, huh? I'm so happy he's gone. All right. He did try to get her to leave this alone. He asked her to. And then later on, he gets this cute little grocery list with Cheerios, milk, some Rugrats, and an address of 9119 U State Northeast, University Street Northeast, I think, in Washington, D.C. Turns out it's a self-storage unit with lots of Agnes's stuff, we think.
You think? Because you looked up the address.
I looked up the address. It's actually an address, except the zip code is different. The zip code here was 20001, and I think the actual zip code is 20002, so they got just enough of a tweak to make it not that one, but it's a house.
I thought it was cute, though. Like, here's like, hey, Uncle Wrestler, like, can I have some Cheerios?
It was cool. Actually, I had to pause so I could check this list out. I'm like, is there some secret code on here? Nope. It's just Cheerios and granola bars. So if you're wondering what that was, don't waste any more time on it.
Why do you think that we're like, oh, really? Season 9? Come on. It's because for 8 years, that's what this does to us. It makes us pause every screenshot so that we can say like, it's the third letter of the fourth word.
Google Maps.
Get out my red vinyl Dakota ring from season 1 and...
I should have checked it because maybe if you took those letters and you like went all the way down, it would spell something out. Kind of like when Arnold Schwarzenegger signed that one thing and when he was governor where it's like F-U-C when he was rejecting a bill or vetoing a bill. Maybe it was something like that. I don't know. It could be. I didn't look that detailed. I should have.
Wanted to make sure that she was taken care of.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
Which Uncle Ram does very well.
Yeah, Uncle Ram is a great uncle. He seems like he'd be a lot of fun. And Ram and Wrestler do work with a nanny to try to use Agnes to get to Liz, which doesn't work. And then he gives a very sweet pep talk to Agnes about how she's very brave, just like her mommy, who's like the most brave person he's ever met, which is very sweet because it reinforces the whole friendship between those two, which I do think we've kind of been worried. I mean, when she used him last week, he kind of wonders, that friendship still there? Where does it stand? I'm glad to know by the end of this episode, it is still there, even if it is a little damaged. Agree with that?
Yeah. And I think that was part of the, what I loved about where they were when Liz came into the post office, like Ram is standing in the exact same spot that he stood in with the director back in season 3, when he was like, no, you can't have her. And he has got his gun drawn in trying to protect Liz. And now he's in that same exact spot, face to face with Liz, having that same dilemma of, do I protect you or do I actually arrest you or what do I do? And I really love the parallelism where they did that in the post office. I thought that was a really brilliant stroke of genius.
Yep. It was a nice connection and it was a sweet moment because when she comes in, I mean, he's looking at his gun and then he's looking at her. I mean, he's trying to figure out what he's supposed to do here.
Now he's looking at his gun going like, damn it, rookie move.
Could be. No, I really got the vibe. He was looking at it as in, I know I should apprehend her, but I don't know if I can, kind of thing. I mean, and, you know, we've always said that Amir and Aram is really a big part of the heart of the show. And I stand firm. I mean, every moment he has with little Agnes and other moments. He's just, you know, it's just, it's hard not to root for Aram. So because of his Twitter, I was worried to death something was going to happen to Aram at that moment. Any chance you were thinking the same thing? Like, oh, what's going to happen? Is he going to go for that gun and something's going to happen? Like, did you think that?
Well, I was thinking it was going to be more like he goes for the gun and then Agnes gets shot in the crossfire.
No, that's wishful thinking. It's what that is. You're just like, I'm done with this kid.
New twins. Sorry. There's new twins acting this year. Don't do that to them. Their careers are just starting.
All right, fine. It's a character at a show, man. It's not a real child. My God. Easy. Easy.
No, I seriously thought Agnes was done for. Because as the whole, like, playing the paper airplane thing, and then the floor is lava, and all that, and just the bond that was kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and I'm like, oh, great. Liz is going to pull a gun, or Rom's going to shoot, and Agnes is going to die.
I'm glad you brought up the new actress for Agnes, because this little girl, or twins, or whatever, really good. I like them a lot. I think really they seem like they're going to fit in if they're in more scenes.
Plus, they're also, you know, another year older since we last saw Agnes doing the play, mm-hmm. Swan Lake. So it would just be a little bit better actress because they're also an older actress.
Sure. Just seemed better actors all around. Not to knock the other child actors. And I do want to say I've never played the sweet ass game of paper airplane basketball, but I dig it and I want to play. And I do like his line where she's like a mini Chuck Yeager. I thought that was pretty funny.
All right. So when we have the AMC theater rented out for the finale, we'll just from the top row all the way to the bottom, try to get paper airplanes in a wave set.
Done. If I can make that happen, I will definitely do that. All right. And now he knows that Liz and Russ are Knoxing Boots. Called it. Do you think that's going to be a problem going forward for anybody, for Russer, for Rom, for Liz, like in terms of the show itself? Is that going to cause any complications, or are you just going to, it's not going to really bother Rom so much? It's going to be just an issue for Rom.
I guess it depends if Rom and Liz hook up, because then technically then she shared multiple girls with Russer then.
No, that, why do you even have to say things like that? Do you think that that's going to complicate anything?
No, it's not going to complicate anything.
Okay. You got to make it weird.
It already did. I mean, that's the thing. It already complicated stuff because Wrestler gave bad information to the task force and she got away and put Ram in a position where he had to choose. So yeah, it's already affecting stuff, but it's not going to affect it any more than it has already.
And he calls her out again about, you used me to get 16 ounces of Semtex. So he's still mad about that, but he still gave her the 2 minutes. He gave her the 2 minutes, didn't he?
Sure did.
Damn it, Ram.
As he just sat there going like, damn it, I touched the floor. I'm out.
All right, moving on to Dembe. So Red and Dembe get to Liz, but a little late, obviously. And then Dembe refers to a friend in the East, Moscow, and he has to meet with Red the day after tomorrow. Now, we come to find out later that that person is Sikorsky. We'll come back to him. But right now, I want to talk to you about this conversation that Dembe has with Red. And he says, and I want to point out, what's his name? Torture guy? What's his name?
Brimley.
Thank you. Brimley's in the other room, torching Marvin Gerard. You can hear the torture, but Brimley can't hear them. They're way too far away. And you hear Dembe ask Red, if I ask you an honest question, will you give me an honest answer? And Red says, of course. And then he asks him, did you want Elizabeth to see you shoot her mother? And keep in mind, Dembe knows the truth about Red. And he said, did you want Elizabeth to see you shoot her mother? Now, what did you think about that moment? Of course, you know, Red said, why would I want that? You know, and then Dembe alluded to, well, because this would take her to a darker place and you want her to be in that darker place to run this someday. And then, you know, that's when Red kind of went back to, he doesn't have a plan, but we'll come back to the plan part. I want to talk about specifically that line. Did you want Elizabeth to see you shoot her mother? In any way, does that confirm that Katarina was Katarina in your mind?
In that one line, I was like, damn it. Because I was like, man, like, why would you say shoot her mother? Like, did you want Elizabeth to see her shoot Katarina? One word change. And we've said this entire 8 seasons that words are important.
Yep.
So yeah, in this exact moment, I was like, man. But then I go back to that Dom conversation and I'm like, what the hell is that Dom conversation about then? I'm so confused.
Well, you can make And I thought it long and hard about this. You know, you can make the case.
Aaron's that gonna you fight can my battles for me. I love it.
No, I'm not fighting. I mean, I just like to play devil's advocate. You know, I'm trying to look at it from different angles. And you can make the case that when he's asking the question, he's asking from Liz's perspective. Did you want her to see you shoot her mother the way, you know, he's saying from Liz's perspective, did you want Liz to see you shoot her mother so that she would go to the dark side? Because that's how he's referencing it in terms of from Liz's point of view. That is one way to see it. I think that's a stretch. And it's thin.
It's thin.
But it can work. It's just thin. It's very thin.
I think this is one of those things where it's like when the show's over and depending on how the answer falls, depending on what camp you're in,
you're going to have to make some of this stuff work. And that's one where I think, yeah, because I've thought about it a lot. And me personally, if it ends up being fake Katarina, for whatever the reasons are, if it ends up being that Katarina that died was not actually Katarina Rostova, that line is going to be a problem for me personally, because I just don't, based on the situation and the scenario, it's a stretch for me.
Right, because I've always said the Tacoma House situation where people are like, well, how can you say that Red is Katarina with the Tacoma House? And I'm like, well, he's in character talking to Lou Lee, who he needs to keep playing the part because there are people in earshot and that don't know the answer. So that's why he basically tells the story, because it's just a story. But Dembe knows the truth. In this case, there's nobody around that doesn't know the truth. So for him to say that, he can speak freely. And by speaking this line, it goes, man.
Well, I think you're ridiculous with the Tacoma House, because that's totally something happened there and has nothing to do with anything you're talking about.
It could be Carlos. that's what we've always said as Red Arena fans, is that it could be Carlos' house and he was just cleaning up the mess.
Sure. That's what you guys say.
I don't even
understand that logic, but you do what you got to do. This one is a real hard one. Now, I know people are going to jump all over it, but it is, no matter what happens, if that Katarina ends up being fake, this is going to be a hard one to
backtrack,
walk away. Yeah, for me personally. Like, I feel like now you're really pushing the limits of what people would actually say in a situation, and you're stretching it just to fit what you're trying to do, if that ends up being the case. Right. So it's a struggle for me. I get it, but it's a struggle. But
if it is really Katarina and the hallucination was there to be like, guys, it's really her.
It could be.
Dom is seeing both the young and the old at the same exact time, and this line works perfectly.
It could be. Like, we could get down the road, and as they explain everything going on, we find out more about what happened when Katarina was set up and she blew up and all that other stuff. And like, all that stuff could come to make sense later. We don't know, you know, but you know, fans are going to jump to, well, Red said that's not her mother. Well, you know, hey, Red said it must be true. Guy wouldn't lie, would he?
Well, then I appreciate you fighting for all of us that still want to hold on to the belief by coming.
I'm not fighting for the Red Arena thing.
The way it could work.
Lord, I'm not fighting for the Red Arena thing. I don't believe that at all. I think there's plenty of other options. You don't need that one. There's plenty of other options. I am just saying, because I can still firmly believe Katarina can be alive somewhere. There's somebody who cares about her. This is somebody that's holding her hostage. This is somebody that, you know, always wanted Katarina and therefore loves the daughter like his own, even though he was just obsessed about her. I mean, he could be a bad person in that respect. I think that would actually be a cool twist. But so there are many other options that people don't want to look at. We'll see what happens. But it's an interesting dynamic. That one line was a big deal for me. I rewound it several times. And obviously it sounds like you did too.
I did as well. I was like, damn it. Damn it. Damn it.
All right, let's get to Red. He wants her found, but not hurt. He makes a really cool line. Like a lion in winter, I am both diminished and dangerous, as is anyone who helps Elizabeth Keene. And I just thought that was a really cool line.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of good Red zingers like that in a while. So it was nice to see some zingers.
Yeah, I agree. And Red is fighting this war with Liz now. And I kind of want to know how you feel about this, because as the episode went on, I felt like Red was, yes, he wanted Liz found because he wants to bring her in and, I don't know, have a talk or something. You've had 8 years to have this conversation, so maybe this could have staved off a lot of this stuff. But in terms of,
if Red is actually her father, like some people believe, they've had 30 some years to have the conversation.
Yeah, whatever. Well, we know that's not the case. Anyway, So really the conversation doesn't really matter. I don't think a conversation would do anything. And as the episode goes, you really get a lot of Red seemingly not so concerned with her well-being, more concerned with catching her. Would you agree with that?
I think it's because of what we found out at the end of the episode. He wants to make sure he gets to her first because he doesn't know how his friends in the East are going to react until they can have that conversation face to face, because he's thinking that maybe the friends in the East are going to start coming after Liz. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why he wants to get to Liz first before that happens. But then, of course, we find out at the end of the episode that Gorski and Red are on the same page.
But he was okay with Cooper putting her, you know, basically putting on a bolo for her. He's okay with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, a bolo is a local thing. Like, someone's going to pick up on it.
You put an agent in the database, and yeah, it's gonna make news. Federal agent? Definitely.
Well, that's what he said. He don't put out a bolo for Liz Keene. He said put out a bolo for the vehicle.
No, that's what Cooper said. I'm right. Talking about Red. When they were talking in the car, and Cooper's basically throwing it back in his face, and he's like, hey, Keene's the target, not me. That whole situation, he was okay with her getting arrested if necessary. He didn't want it, but he also wasn't. He was more worried about him catching her than asking him any questions.
Well, because if she was arrested, at least she would be safe.
I'm saying maybe. It also could very, I mean, I'm just saying maybe. Because he didn't, in my opinion, that's not very concerned with someone, because you're willing to ruin their whole life by putting them in the wanted.
And she gets shanked in the joint the next day. You never know.
You never know. You never know. So, anyway, and then that would crucify her in the media again, too. So, I don't know. I just feel like everybody loves to defend Red. And I think sometimes you got to look at the actions he's making. And yeah, she did this, she did that, but he's done worse. Scooty Global and this House Committee thing. What did you think about these two things? Where this gentleman apparently is working with Scooty Global. And the House Committee, the House Representatives was forming a committee to go look into them or look into him. And so they need Red to get rid of this information, which they use poor Genevieve to do. What did you think about that whole subplot?
I was like, yes, new stuff. I was so excited. I was like, this is why we have season 9 coming, because this is new stuff. Like, what the hell is in that House file? And why is he fighting a war on two fronts? And who are the friends in the East? And the hell is Scooty Global, and why do you name your company that? I was like, Scooty, is it like S-C-O-O-T-I-E? Like scooters? And then you find out
it's S-C-U-D-I, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. And what I'm trying to figure out is if Scooty Global hired Sikorsky, and then Sikorsky and the archive and Red had to like protect Scooty Global. Like, where does Scooty Global play into this matrix of stuff? I think that's going to be the interesting thing to see how that all plays out. Like, who's in charge? Right? Is it Scooty in charge? Is it Sikorsky in charge? Is it somebody over Sikorsky that we don't know about yet? Because it seems like Red is an agent for Sikorsky in a way.
I don't know. But Scooty, I think, is like an Italian coin, if I'm not mistaken. So that makes me interested. Like, what's that mean? It was pretty cool that they brought Tadashi back to help Genevieve and get her to Kauai, which is a beautiful state, a beautiful part of a state. So I definitely recommend everybody go to Hawaii, because, man, if you give me the offer, I would totally fry those files to go to Kauai.
I would totally go to Kauai.
A beautiful island.
Pull it on my inner tube down the sugarcane channels. I would take the helicopter and do Jurassic Park again.
Exactly.
Waimea Canyon, the Evergreens, beautiful. On the untouchable coast on the north. Oh, man, it's beautiful.
Been there once, and that's where I'm going the next time I go to Hawaii. I promise you. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
For an entire week rather than just one day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You went on a cruise, right?
Yeah.
I spent a week there with my wife and my parents, and it was fantastic.
Although Western Maui is pretty good, too. I could stay there for a week as well.
Except my dad and I got in a fight on the canyon. That was pretty ugly.
Everybody heard it, too.
Probably. All right. So, you know, they work with Genevieve. She gets her house, it seems like. And he gives Wrestler a little side eye. He's like, I think you're a better friend than an agent. Tortures Gerard. He does mention that he doesn't want to get Liz arrested, but I do want her found. even though it seems like you're okay with her getting arrested, but whatever. And then you've got the whole thing where he holds Gerard and says he's sorry and da 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 da, and finds out that Liz duped him. And we get that great line, one swallow doesn't mean spring is here. I like that. That was cool.
All of that doesn't matter, because the only line that matters in this episode is, I didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
And you went, what? This doesn't mean anything?
What'd you think about that?
Is this John and John like saying, like, no, we just made this shit up the whole time? What is this? Like, scratch my head, did the little dog thing. I think he meant like he didn't have a plan regarding Liz specifically, if she had gotten to this point, I think is what he meant.
I hope so, because it sure seemed like he had a plan otherwise.
Seems like he had a plan, yeah, the most of the show, right? And all of a sudden he's like, it didn't quite go as I expected.
It seems like he didn't have a plan because he thought he could control the situation, maybe, so he didn't need to plan, or I don't know. It's a very, at this stage in the game, and based on everything we've seen before, it was a confusing line, I thought, because I'm like, what do you mean you don't have a plan, or you didn't have a plan? I mean, I feel like this whole thing you've had planned for the most part. I mean, maybe Blacklister's threw a curveball here and there, and a few Cabals threw you a curveball, and Kaplan threw you, you know, you've gotten some curveballs, but overall, I would have thought you had some kind of plan.
Well, maybe this was the biggest curveball, was he wasn't expecting he was going to have to kill Katerina, because he always protected her, kept her one step ahead, and because Liz and her teamed up, which he never probably calculated happening.
That's possible.
That he's like, damn, I don't know what to do now.
I didn't have a plan for this. That's probably what it meant, I hope.
I do hope.
Okay, well, I mean, any more in the I don't have a plan thing?
No, I think it was just kind of fun to hear him say it. Pause, rewind. Did he really just say that?
He did.
Man in the hat doesn't have a plan? What?
He's never getting a job with the A-team. I can tell you that. Nope. All right. Well, let's move on to Liz Keene. So what do you think about Liz Keene this episode? Because Liz Keene really got to do some fun stuff. So what do you think?
I think she's brilliant in this episode. I think this is not so much it's the ruin Liz, but I felt like she was taking matters into her own hands. She doesn't need anybody to help her out. You know, she's figuring out the list herself. She's calling, making the calls herself. She's doing everything she can. And then she's a really good, she's thinking like a criminal, and she's selling it like a criminal and giving a good story and giving a good line. And it convinces Skip to switch sides and get the cash and do everything he needs.
Skip convinced himself.
Well, she's got to spin the line in front of Marvin Gerard for him to actually glam onto it, though.
Sure. Sure.
So I think this was great. Like, this should have been the Liz we've seen a lot of times in the show, and we never saw this Liz, and we might not see Liz for a while.
So she could still be gallivanting, trying to shore up some money or something else. So you never know. What ultimately did you think in terms of her arc here? Because I know a lot of fans just get mad whenever Liz Keene goes against Red. Do you feel like it's still warranted? What she did here, taking 35 million euros and skedaddling off with her daughter and leaving the task force and everything else, do you feel like that was warranted?
Absolutely.
I love hearing that.
Absolutely. And you know what? And I don't think it's really stealing 41 million US, 35 million euro
right
from Reddington. It's just an advance on her inheritance. Like withdrawing from your 401k. You got to pay the tax penalty, and the tax penalty for her is that she's got to watch her back. So she took the gamble. It paid off. She's got what she needs. She's in the wind. She's got her daughter. I think this is really more about Liz versus the task force, really, to say, you know, how do I leave these relationships? How do I, you know, go back on Aram and go back on Cooper and go back on Wrestler? You know, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's always been about protecting Agnes since season 3. I mean, she hatched the plan with Kaplan, you know, to disappear in season 3. So this isn't like it's something she hasn't tried to do before, but I think it's absolutely warranted at this point in time.
Good. I'm glad you said that, because it's true. And I hope they come after you like they did for me, Troy. That's what I hope. Team Liz has its detriment. I can tell you that.
Well, there's a difference. I think there's a difference. Last week she was against Red. Full bore. Right. This week, she is for Liz, not really against Red or against the task force. She is for Liz.
She's still against Red. She stole $41 million. It's not hers yet.
Did she steal it, though? Because technically, Skip had access to the accounts, so Reddington gave her the money.
No, she stole it. She stole $41 million, and she tried to turn all of his assets against him, and actually got one of his assets to torture because she knew he would do such a thing. So it's still Liz going against Red. It still is. And once again, I had many people tag me or send me messages or emails or whatever, and DMs, and tell me how dare I say that what she did was warranted, because that's worse than anything Reddington has ever done. And I just can't understand that argument. I'm like, what show? Obviously, you're devoted fans, you know, devoted podcast listeners, so I'm not knocking you. But what show are you watching? He's killed so many innocent people. I guess in your mind, maybe not innocent, but he's killed so many people that didn't deserve to die just because they weren't his version of loyal. He's done lots of horrible things.
He took out a whole prison Rambo style.
Yeah, he's done lots of horrible things. He's gotten a lot of people killed. People have been killed because they were associated with him and they didn't mean to be. What was it? Dr. Nick. Poor Dr. Nick died. Well, he didn't kill him, but he's still, because of him, he's dead, right?
But that's when you would say that you're happy because of him, Tom is dead too.
Yeah, I am. I'm thankful for that part. In fact, I'm going to go buy a washer and put it on a necklace and wear it myself just because I'm so happy about it. Sorry.
Which was a sweet moment. I love that they're doing these callbacks. Yeah, that's what I like about this season. It's like these little subtle callbacks to previous seasons, because then it kind of makes it feel like it's wrapping up, like it's a final season, even though it's not.
Yep.
I feel like that's like giving us a clue, like, hey, something is going to be answered. Things come, because you're giving us these like memory clips.
As we go. Absolutely. And I did really appreciate her trying to flip Marvin Gerard. I thought that was ballsy. You know, she went for it, and instead she flips Skip Haley. I think I saw that one coming. You did too, I assume. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was going to happen last week with the whole, like, her house, she can put in the big mansion. So I'm like, oop, Skip's on Liz's side.
Yep. So there's that. And boy, got Red good. Now, if I was Skip Hadley, I would disappear.
Yeah.
He's not long for this world.
But he's with Liz, so technically he's protected.
For the time being, but as soon as he gets a chance, that's what Red's going to do, is he's going to be gone, because that's what Red does. He kills people.
That's probably what Essie's like. Oh, Skip's better, worse than I am, so I'm in the clear now.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Skip. You took all the heat off me. Good job. Awesome. Good job.
Thanks so much.
But she ends up, because she dupes Aram, Liz gets her daughter, which, you know, even though it felt a little predictable, you know, I don't like to use that word, but it felt a little predictable. A lot of that's because we watched way too much TV. So,
well, and because we all expected her to die. A lot of us expected Agnes to die. It's a tragedy.
I did not expect. I never thought they were going to kill a kid. They don't kill kids on TV very often.
It would be unexpected. It's The Blacklist.
Unless it's Walking Dead. Walking Dead is like the only one that does it. And it is very shocking when they do it. So if they did it, it would be like, oh. That's
why I was waiting for it. Everybody was like, something big's going to happen. And I'm like, oh, man, Agnes is going to die. Is this where... is she going to get shot when they're outside by the cars? Oh my gosh, is she going to get shot in the crossfire of the post office? Like, I was on pins and needles.
I will tell you, I was, the first time I watched this episode, I was a little disappointed because nothing in my mind really big or dangerous happened. But that is my expectations. I rewatched it. I enjoyed it a lot more. But the first time I was like, that's it? Because I had so much expectations of what was going to happen at the end.
Right.
And a lot of that is Amir's fault. That's on you, buddy. Just kidding. But I rewatched it. I'm just kidding. But I rewatched it, and it definitely is a much better. I like the episode.
It's the loss you feel because she's not with Reddington. It's the loss you feel because she's not with the task force.
I don't have that with Reddington. I know a lot of people do. I'm not. I am on board the train. I've said this before. I said it last week. Team Liz. I'm sorry. I get Red cares about her, but until he starts sharing some of these secrets, I don't have much empathy for him. He's brought this on himself. I mean, even Dembe said that. Dembe said that in their conversation. You made her this way. He flat out told him that. Because of the truths you choose to hide, you made her this way. Correct or not correct?
Yeah, was that your plan the whole time? was to make her like you.
Exactly. So, I mean, Dembe called him out and said, you did this. This is you. Dembe understands it. I understand it. I think the world understands it now. It just is.
Well, we hope you got on your train on time then from the Spring Creek station.
And I also like the Liz has Agnes. She has her socks. She has a plane.
It was a tender moment. It was sweet.
It was a very sweet moment. Very sweet. And I really dug her
which is kind of
red.
Like a throwback to when she was dealing with the general's daughter in the pilot episode. Mm-hmm. You know, take this friendship bracelet. And you'll know exactly where I am. And I'll come find you.
Very sweet. All right. So we end with the one true answer of the episode. I mean, I thought we already answered this. You tell me it wasn't confirmed. Okay. I thought it was, but now it is. We end with Red Moscow, fresh from the archive. Sikorsky, we think, right? This guy's Sikorsky?
That's what if we're believing the internet and the actor's page and a bunch of sleuthing from the Blacklist fans.
Okay. Well, he says to this guy, after 30 years, you suddenly act as though I work for you. So Sikorsky, or whoever this gentleman is, has obviously known him for 30 years.
Right.
And N13, this gentleman says, a fact no one knows is true. So he is N13.
Right.
I would take that as confirmation.
That's how I took that confirmation. N13 is in the wind, and he's like a fact that no one needs to know.
Yep. So Red Reddington is N13. And I guess we're going to learn more about what N13 means in terms of the show as we go. Elizabeth Keane is off limits for now. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting. We've never seen somebody that's been more powerful than Red. And right now, this guy definitely seems like he's kind of got Red by the gonones.
So what's your theory at the end of this? Do you feel like they're going to have Liz off the show, or they're going to show her doing... I mean, off the show for a little bit and bring her back later, do some mythology stuff once that needs to be done? Or do you feel like she's going to be doing, we're going to watch her build like her own empire in the meantime?
I think Liz by herself without the interaction of the post office only works if you have a standalone episode with just Liz, like a ruin episode kind of situation, going around building, finding people, etc.
If she doesn't need an empire.
She doesn't need one, no, but I think if Liz is going to be on the show, then you have to do it in that way. Because if you're doing it where like she's looking for people and then Red and the task force are doing something else, like it just doesn't jive. So it's better to just leave her in the wind and not be on the show. And the task force is literally doing what they need to do to find whatever pieces Red's giving them. Now, Red is trying to stay one step ahead of Sikorsky, so that way he can do whatever Sikorsky needs him to do. And I think that's what they end up doing, like... through the pieces of whatever Sikorsky's having him do, Red can then try to find Liz. But Liz being in the show itself, I think it would be a distraction. Unless it's a solo Liz episode.
I hope they have an episode where Liz runs across Samar. Just sees how she's doing. How's your memory? And then Samar's like, who are you?
Yeah, maybe she found some like really great treatment. Wouldn't it be cool if Samar and Liz teamed up?
It would be cool to see Samar back, that's for sure. Well, that's it for the episode, but we got more of our episode. But we want to take a second to say thank you to all of those that are supporting the show by going to Patreon. That's Patreon. That's patreon.com/theblacklistgsm. Special big thanks to our honorary blacklister, Patricia. Also, special shout out to our task force members, Judy and Sharon and Rory. All of these people receive cool gifts from us, and you can get a cool gift as well for donating it at the $20 level or higher. You want a cool t-shirt, maybe a coffee mug? You know you do. You don't have to stay at the $20 level for very long. You just a few months to get the cool gifts.
And remember, $5 patrons. If you're a $5 patron, you get the episode before anybody else right after the show completes on Friday nights. So make sure if you want the episode and get to hear all the conversations and all the discussions and be in the know, make sure you go ahead and go in at the $5 level. We're also only about $150 away from converting this audio podcast into a video podcast. So if you guys want to see our faces and all the goofy expressions that we give each other through the course of these discussions, then you definitely want to make sure you contribute at that $5 or $20 level and help us get to that $500 total mark so we could go ahead and do this in video since we're now coming back for season 9. You can do that all over at Patreon. That's patreon.com/theblacklistgsm. Build a fedora. Get some awesome rewards for yourself. Stay tuned. We got more show with all of your feedback right after this.
You obviously love podcasts, but are you also a fan of movies and television? Do you want to listen to a show that reviews entertainment honestly and casts pretentiousness to the wind? That debates both film and TV topics in a fun, good-spirited way while still getting to the heart of why we all love them so much? Then don't miss the award-winning weekly podcast, The Hollywood Outsider, now available on your favorite podcast app or at TheHollywoodOutsider.com.
Hey, Dembe Loyals, this is Hisham Taufik. You are listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Welcome to Red's Rhetoric, that part of the show where we listen to wise words from Raymond Reddington, and then each week you get to vote which is your favorite in our weekly poll over on the website. That is TheBlacklistExposed.com. Our first story this week comes when Red talks about his health.
She said you were sick. Like pushing daisies sick.
Aspirins are all the same. A little bit desperate, irrational, always impatient. They never wait for the body to cool.
I told her I was with you, hot or cold. But since you mention it, are you, you know, cooling?
Like a lion in winter, I am both diminished and dangerous. As anyone who offers to help Elizabeth will quickly find out. In the old days, drug cocktails were decidedly more appealing.
I spoke to our friend in the East.
Ah, thank you. That's a relief.
He expects you in Moscow the day after tomorrow. And it gets worse.
Worse than Moscow at this time of year? At any time of year?
Our second comes when Red hatches a plan.
Taste aside, Tadashi will make the task ahead of you quick and easy.
The task? What task?
Erasing certain information from the computer server of the House Committee on Intelligence. Tadashi has the skill set, and as counsel, you have the access. As I said, quick and easy.
What makes you think I would do something like that?
Danielle Steele. You have 16 hardcovers. No one has that many romance novels and wants to live alone in Cleveland Park.
And if I say no?
Keep up, Gwen. Tomorrow, you'll go to work as usual, except that when you're alone and the moment provides, you'll contact Tadashi, who will walk you through the steps of inserting the thumb drive into the server, which will contaminate and eliminate the data on said server.
Absolutely not. I would be fired. I would go to prison for treason.
Not if it was a mistake.
The malware kit's designed to mimic liquid contamination, a leak in the gasket around the head assembly, and corrosion on the platter surface.
You'll spill a cup of coffee to cover our tracks.
And I'd be fired.
Yes, walking out of your old life and into your better life. Go on, have a look. I guarantee it's a plot twist worthy of Passion's Promise.
Which was your favorite? If you are very much not on the cool side, vote hashtag red aspirin. Or if you want to write your own story, vote hashtag red steel.
All right, now it's time for Special Agent Intel when we talk about your thoughts from emails and Facebook and the internet or wherever it is that you might be. And bear with me, Troy. On Reddit, Husker Viking, it's a sexy name. I like it. He said, and I quote, Aaron is a prick. That's it. That's his feedback. That's his criticism. And I want to say that hurts, man. That hurts. And you know what? But you're entitled to your opinion.
He has more to say, too.
Oh, he said more?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was just happy, you know, Aaron is a prick. I don't know why he had to add any more. By the way, your mom was fine with it. What? All right. So he also says, Aaron said he is all for Liz killing Red. No, that's not what I said. Aaron is known for not only anti-Red comments, but anti-Spader as well. Also not true. So, methinks you're not listening. Because I'm all for Liz waging war on Red, not for killing Red. I just said she would be justified if she came at him. Absolutely. Liz is going to kill Red? I never said she's going to. I said she's justified to try because of everything he's done to her. 100%. Don't backtrack that. I am not anti-Red. I am just saying Red has done some crazy stuff to Liz. I like Red. Red is the blacklist. Red's a fun character. But when people make him seem like he's a hero, I laugh because he's not a hero. He's just not. He's the villain. You can have heart and humanity and still be a villain. Dexter, one of the best characters ever on TV. I love Dexter to death. Dexter killed people regularly. So, you can be, I guess you want to call it an anti-hero, but he's not doing anything really to help anyone but himself. I guess, maybe getting the blacklisters off there, but it's usually for his own benefit. So I don't really consider that an anti-hero, just an anti.
Okay, Red's even better than Dexter. Dexter killed.
Yeah, but my favorite one, but anti-Spader as well. Do you even listen to this podcast, dude? Seriously. I love James Spader, have loved James Spader for 30 plus years. That's a ridiculous comment, and it's not factual and anything to do with this podcast. So thank you for pointing out I'm a prick. Wow, you really hurt my feelings. Once again, your mom didn't mind. But two, I love James Spader. He's been a wonderful actor for many, 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 many years. And the idea that I've ever been anti-James Spader is a ridiculous conversation that shouldn't even be had. And it makes me mad because it means you don't really listen to the podcast.
Because apparently both of us are ignorant.
Oh, there's more? That's him too?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy. You don't listen. He also says Aaron and Troy are... I thought it was somebody else. Husky Viking has a lot to say. Aaron and Troy are ignorant. They do not take into account that Liz may be meant to be this way. And that Red has done everything in his power to try to stop it from happening. Preparing Liz for dealing with her life. Liz is a daughter of a spy. She has the warrior gene and her mind has been messed with who knows how many times. What? Well, I mean, yeah, some of that stuff's true, but she was doing much better before Red Reddington showed up.
And let's be clear, Red has done everything in his power to try to stop it from happening. No, he hasn't, because he doesn't have a plan.
Ay. Sorry, buddy. That's just not... Most of what you said is not accurate. So I'm sorry. Would you think... Troy, you listen pretty intently. Do you think I've ever said anything anti-Spader?
Not anti-Spader, no.
Okay. Anti-Red, usually when it comes to how he handles Liz, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Are you a prick? 100%. On the lighter side of the Reddit world...
Touché.
1974 on Reddit said, thoughts on last week's episode and the show in general. Well, now that I've seen the 16 ounces episode, a few thoughts about it and the very strong amount of people who don't like the show anymore, apparently. I think the episode was great, very tight. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. I'm actually one of the few apparently who like the direction of the show. I'm with you. I thought the last two episodes were great. Don't get me wrong. I started to watch because Liz and Red made a great team and hunting the blacklisters was fun. But seriously, Red and Liz holding hands for 8 seasons and doing always the same thing would be boring AF.
I yes, think it would.
It's a PG show, people. Mm-hmm. You can fill in the blanks. I think Red against Liz battle is exciting and brings the characters forward and helps to keep the show fresh. But this is only me, not just you. I agree. I think in the end, we will get a satisfying and good ending with Liz and Red on good terms once again. I like the show because of the mystery and the big questions about Red and Liz and their relationship. I see that many fans love the weekly blacklister more and many like the family story more. A mix of both, I think, is perfect. I think if I want only a case of the week show, then NCIS or something of that kind would be better to watch.
Yep, I say it all the time. I'm a big fan of don't give fans what they want all the time. I think it's a mistake to always give fans what they want. Give them what they didn't realize they wanted.
Right. I really wanted... Crazy blacklister, like giant soapy guy. Like, I love those guys. Give me those guys, but something about that episode gives me an answer to the mythology little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit. But by the end of the season, you go like, oh, it all makes sense.
Yeah. But I will say, I mean, you know, I know there's articles that lowest live ratings for the most recent episode. I think part of that was because it took that weird break after two episodes and da da da, because we got flooded with emails and stuff on this episode. So people were obviously engaged.
Yeah.
They were obviously reacting to
rushing it in the delayed viewing. And Blacklist has always been a delayed viewing show.
Exactly.
It wasn't in the top 10 on Netflix for no apparent reason.
It was there for a while too.
It was.
Nicola says before tonight's episode said, more Red and Wrestler scenes, please. Cooper may not know his agent is sneaking off to meet the woman their task force is searching for, but Red definitely does. I, for one, would like to hear more of his unsolicited comments to Wrestler on the subject. Well, you got your wish, and I bet you're going to get more, because my guess is they're going to be doing some blacklisters while they're searching for Liz Keen.
I'd love to see Wrestler and Red toe-to-toe again, partnering up, doing stuff, where Wrestler has to be the informant and going to meet for the, you know, hey, I got a case for you, Wrestler.
Exactly. You want to get some rest?
Maria Joano said over on the YouTube channel, why is Red hell-bent on still protecting Liz from herself? He said he wants to stop her from making a huge mistake that she can't recover from. Would that be killing him for a woman that is not her mother? Or is he her father? Or would she need him in regards to the archive to save the world to prevent a war, possibly? Fred tried to tell Liz that this woman, Maddie/Katerina, was exploiting her and that things are not what they seem. He also told Liz, when she said she'd seen him at the park kill her mother, that he knows what she saw. It wasn't everything she thought she saw. I agree that this Katerina is not Liz's bio mother and that she was set up to take the fall for Dom's daughter, who I believe is still alive.
All fair points. You know what he could have done? All right. You didn't see me kill your mom because this is what happened. So way back in the day, I kind of set up this fake Katerina so she could make it look like she was a real Katerina, and that's why I did it. So actually, it wasn't your mom. She was just playing you. That's what happened, Liz. I'm so sorry. There was such a confusion. Oh, is that right? Yeah, that's right. Well, who are you? Well, I can't tell you that yet. All right. Well, at least you cleared up the Katerina thing. And then it's over. See what I'm saying? So that's on him.
Except you lied, because Dom's the one that actually set the dangling carrot out there.
Well, you know what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. Obviously, I needed to write that so I could fill in the blanks and get it right. But just freestyling, that's what I came up with. Carol wrote in from the mailbag, Red is my favorite, and he is also incredibly toxic to Liz. I like you. I've always been a fan of Red, often annoyed with Liz for being an obstacle to his latest schemes. However, when considered objectively, her life is constantly derailed by Red's machinations. I personally could accept the "it is my secret" excuse if he stopped intervening in her affairs. I love this letter. Thank you for finding this one. You won't tell me, Red. Fine. But then let me be with my daughter, because I get to decide who is part of our lives. But as proved by many past seasons, he won't let her be, even when she specifically asks for it. And as much as I still love Red and cheer for him, this is some incredibly toxic behavior. This person gets me. You complete me. You complete me. Some fans blame her for always coming back to him, but it's almost like Stockholm Syndrome. Yes, you're ruining my life, but you're also kind to me, and you won't let me leave anyway, so I might as well just be friendly. He won't leave. He won't let her leave. And he refuses to let her know why. The only choices she has left are to be controlled by Red forever without ever knowing why, or rebel. To be honest, I believe that the show does not support Liz's side very well. The show was established on the Criminal of the Week format. Red is the one who brings the cases and is usually the one providing necessary support to solve them, too. He also does it with style and is an interesting character even 8 seasons down the road. For many fans, that is what this show is about. And Liz's character has a tendency to stand in the way of that. I understand the character, hope she gets her answers, but it just does not seem well handled. I agree with everything that they said right there.
And I think that you and Carol are going to get their wish.
I think so too. And I get why they do it to a large degree, because they're trying to keep the show going and keep the dynamic going. But in the same token, and Liz is, as a character, is the one that suffers the most because of that. And yeah, I 100% feel like I still do. Liz is in the right for what she's doing. Everything that was a great email. Like, seriously, very succinctly put it in perspective. So I don't really need to add to it, but agree with everything. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think that the way it's explained there, as far as like the Stockholm Syndrome, and the fact that even if Liz was like, "I'm good, thanks," which I think she kind of did
a couple times,
season 5 into season 6, mm-hmm. right? Like, we're good. I'm going to go to the woods for a while. Ciao, ciao. And Red still shows back up because he thinks he knows what's best when he doesn't have a plan. And then she suffers for it. So absolutely.
And there's also that manipulation factor. He's constantly manipulating the situation. She can't do good with the blacklist unless she does what he wants. I mean, and he's only going to help if those are the other parameters. And there's just so many factors that go into it. And it's just, I don't understand the argument from people. And apparently there's a lot of people.
Yeah, for all the people that back in the day were like, "Tom's gaslighting Liz. Tom's awful. Tom.
Yeah.
Right? Red has done the same thing for
yes.
8 years.
He has. And I just, man. A lot of smothering parental figures, whatever you see Red as being, caused bad are bad relationship partners because they overwhelm or they manipulate or they, you know, think they're protecting someone that doesn't want their protection. And if they don't want it, then they don't want it.
That is the character analysis portion of the Blacklist. When you talk about, like, I'm going to sit down on a Friday night and watch the show. When I sit down on Friday night and watch the show, then it's 100%. I want to see Red doing cool stuff with bad guys.
True.
And the best the show really was in season 3 when Liz and Red were on the same side.
Yep.
So when Liz and Red are against each other, the show does suffer. So I love this episode where I think they're going to be apart for a while. I think that's going to be the big thing, and people are going to get what they want, which is Red catching bad guys week to week for a little bit.
And I think we can probably, I don't know if you're in agreement, well, I'm assuming we're in agreement, maybe we're not. I don't think Liz can ever go back to the task force.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She's already done that this twice. This will be Stark 3.
Yep. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Can't do it. The economy.
That's going to do it for this episode, man. We got a lot coming up. I'm really curious what's going to happen in the next episode because it's almost like a reboot to a very soft reboot in a way. So I'm kind of curious where we go.
Got whatever it is, 42 episodes of a new show coming up at us.
But as always, thanks for doing this with me. I hope nobody calls me a prick this week, but that guy might say it again, which is fine.
I might too before the show's over. You never know.
I hope you do. I hope you do. I hope you do. But Husky Viking, it's kind of a bitching username. So that's cool.
Aaron is jealous. He didn't pick it first.
I do. I mean, Vikings are kick ass. All right. Well, that's going to conclude this discussion. So now is the time to recommend the Blacklist to your friend, your enemy, or your neighbor. And when you do, please also recommend that they listen and subscribe to the Blacklist Exposed podcast. All the case profiles can be found at blacklistexposed.com and everywhere great podcasts can be heard.
For more great Aaron and Troy hijinks, follow us on your favorite social media outlet. I'm at Troy Heinrichs. He's at Aaron Smirks. And together we are at the Blacklist GSM. Talk about the show, the podcast, or just how long it would take you to escape from trouble.
Weird ending. Big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. What is on the Sikorsky Archive? Say that 3 times real fast. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5Popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.
Maybe I am a prick.
I know you are. It's been 8 years.